Welcome back to the Byland Podcast. My name is Emery. Thank you so much for being here and welcome to Better Backpacking. That is what this podcast is all about. So if you're new here, we're just trying to get better at backpacking. I don't care what kind of backpacking you do, be it the long distance type or the backpacking into an alpine lake to do some fishing for the weekend type, it doesn't matter. The only thing that does matter is you getting better at whatever it is you do out there. Backpacking is supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be hard or arduous unless you want it to be, and the better you can get at it by adopting tools and techniques of others, the more fun you're going to have in the end. So that's what this podcast is about, helping you get better so you can focus on whatever it is that you like to do out there in conjunction with backpacking. This is episode 122, and it's just me again. I really hope you guys enjoy these solo shows as much as I enjoy putting them together. To be honest, it felt a little weird at first, but I've realized I get to be a little more thoughtful about these types of episodes, and I really like that. Today's episode is a bit of a collection of talking points. I have obviously been mentioning the backpacking course for a while now, but I have not yet gone into detail at any length anyhow about what it is or anything like that. So I want to dive into the course for a little bit, but me telling you about the course and trying to get it off the ground probably isn't that helpful to you. So I want to give you a taste of what is in the course by going through a few of the topics. This podcast is supposed to be about learning, growing, and sharing lessons learned. So I want to dive into the following things: finding your style, managing expectations, and finally, how to manage miles in the backcountry once you're off and down the trail. If that sounds like something that you're into, please stick around. But before we dive in, if you have not yet joined the Facebook group, there are links in the description of the episode that will allow you to do so. It is a great place to meet and interact with other listeners and encourage each other to get out. So let's dive into this week's episode. Let's chat about the course real fast so you have an idea of why it exists in the first place. I have done a lot of thinking about where this whole backpacking course started from, and I think it really starts back on that first hike around Mount St. Helens that I've mentioned a few times on the show now. If you're not familiar with the story, it goes a little something like this. I basically bit off more than I could chew for a two-day hike. I had the gear and I knew how to use it, but I didn't know how to manage that gear or manage myself over 30 miles in 2 days. The trail around Mount St. Helens is not exactly a walk in the park, but it's not going to kill you either. It's a challenging hike purely based on the terrain and the exposed nature of hiking around a volcano that blew up at one point. To make a long story short, everything was fine until about 10 miles in, when my body started shutting down and just hating me altogether. Every mile after mile 10 was terrible. And the worst part was that bailing off the trail was not an option. I had no choice but to suck it up and deal with it for the next X amount of miles. We camped around mile 15, and by that point, I was in pretty bad shape. I hadn't eaten or drank much throughout the day, so by the time I got to camp, all I wanted to do was curl up in a ball and pretend that I wasn't stuck 15 miles from my truck. I also hadn't been managing my body. I wasn't taking breaks, didn't ease into it, and I paid for it. The guy I was hiking with, he knew I was in pretty bad shape and offered me some tea, and that was literally the only thing that brought me back to life enough to eat and fall asleep. The next day, it was just awful. The damage I'd done to my body the day before was now catching up to me. And if it wasn't my feet that hurt, it was my knees. And if it wasn't my knees, it was something else. For anyone who's hiked that trail around Mount St. Helens, they would know how rocky it is. It's just plain hard on your feet and your joints. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I winced in pain with every step and honestly just wanted to quit. The only thing that did not make me quit was the idea that I literally couldn't quit. About 5 miles from the truck, I sat down for a break and could barely get up. My body was shutting down on me to the point where I could hardly walk. It took me about a mile to get back to full stride. And even then, it was just weak. My friend met me for another break about 2 miles later. And as I passed him, he asked me if I wanted to take another break. And I straight up said, dude, if I stop again, I am not getting back up. And I was absolutely serious. Obviously, I made it back to the truck. But I honestly thought about selling all of my backpacking gear on the drive home because I wanted nothing to do with backpacking if that was backpacking in the real world. At that point in time, I think I had big dreams of being this badass backpacker, but those were blasted right out of the sky to the point where I figured hiking something like the PCT would be a pipe dream. That first terrible experience is the reason why I made this backpacking course. It's why I spent a year and a half assembling every piece of content and the videos myself, and why I didn't half-ass it. I could have made a backpacking course of 10 videos to get you up and going, but how valuable is that in the grand scheme of things? If I was going to do it, I wanted to do it right and include the full spectrum of what backpacking entails. That turned out to be 8 modules detailing everything from backpacking gear, navigation, life on the trail, and life after the trail. It's literally all there. There are other modules as well, obviously 8 of them, but it's literally all there, A to Z. And I think the best part about it is that I'm not putting myself on some pedestal teaching you how I personally like to backpack. Instead, I'm teaching you the fundamentals of backpacking so that you can backpack how you want to backpack. For those starting from absolute scratch, I will use my style as an example of a way to backpack. But I make it clear that there are many ways to backpack in terms of style and preference. That said, though, the foundations are the foundations and those don't change. For example, in the gear module, I don't just show you what a backpack is, but I show you the varying designs of backpacks and how they function, why they function that way, and what they're best used for, such as a fast pack versus a hunting pack. I do this so that you can get a lay of the land and decide for yourself what kind of a backpack you'd want to use for your style of backpacking. For each piece of gear, I go through the same evolution so that by the end of the modules, you will have the knowledge to make the right choice for yourself. The same concept is throughout the entire course, be it base layers, insulation, or even the way in which you like to hike down the trail. I deliver the information on how backpacking works and leaving it up to you to decide which path to take from there. And I think that's pretty cool. The biggest question I get about the course is why someone would want to pay for information when they can find it online somewhere else. And I think that is a fair and honest question, so I wanted to address it. First off, the course is not free. To do it the right way, I had to implement certain functions and host it on certain platforms so that it's easier for students, and that costs money. Aside from that, I'm spending a lot of time with students ensuring they're getting the one-on-one feedback. So yeah, there's going to be a cost of the course. But to answer the mail on finding this information elsewhere for free, yeah, you can do it that way, like I did, and a lot of other people did. But that's because nothing like this has ever existed prior to now, and trust me, I have looked for it all over the internet. You'll find courses on backpacking or whatever, but they're not this comprehensive. They're not this synced up, and they're not as planned out to the degree that I've created this course. The problem with the Easter egg hunt version of learning how to backpack is that you'll spend far more time searching for the right information versus just learning it and applying it. What happened for me and what normally happens is that I'd find some sort of video or article showing a technique or a tip, and I'd go and apply it. Sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't. If it did, then great. But if it didn't, I'd have to go do my research all over again and try to find out what went wrong and why. This happened because I wasn't seeing the full picture of what I was trying to do out there. That's where this course is different. It's a course. It's in order, it's organized, and it's all in one place to save you time hunting down that information. And speaking of saving time, I think one of the huge benefits of the course is how much time you're going to save working all the kinks out. I was lucky enough to hike 2,000 miles in a single go, and it reinforced a lot of things for me. Putting reps in every single day and failing at times allowed me to figure out what works and what doesn't, but not all of us have that time available to do that. If we're lucky, we get a couple of trips a year, or maybe one big trip, and I think it's important that we make the most of that time when we have it. The things I learned on the PCT drastically cut down on the amount of years it would have taken me to learn what I eventually learned. I want to pass that knowledge over to you so that you can not only cut down on your learning curve, but save yourself time and money by buying the right gear and doing the right things so that you're actually happy out there when you go. I am really lucky that trip around Helens didn't ruin me. If it had, I would have missed out on all the great things backpacking has to offer. I just want to help others avoid those mistakes as much as possible and get them out there enjoying themselves right from the start rather than have it be this long, drawn-out process to actual enjoyment. So there you have it. That's the background on the course and why I spent the time creating it. There are links in the description of the episode if you want to learn more. The rest of this episode is going to be all actionable information you can take with you on your next outing. And yes, a lot of it came from those mistakes I made early on. These topics are covered in more detail in the course, so this will also give you a feel for what kind of stuff is in there. So let's talk about finding your style. Not mimicking my style or someone else's, but finding your style. If you're just starting out, this might sound really difficult to do, but you just need to ask yourself a few questions and you'll be well on your way. Start asking yourself what you see when you think about backpacking. Do you see mountains? Do you see water? Do you see desert? Be specific because that's where you'll find success from here on out. If you want to get into backpacking for hunting, then it's good to know that from the beginning so you can buy the right gear up front. If you want to just go and relax for the weekend and not hike so many miles, then you might want to bring a few more comfort items than you would if you were just going to do big mile days. Starting out by asking what you see puts you in a great position to be successful out there. Anytime I run into anyone who says they hate backpacking, it's usually because they did it once with someone who implemented a style that they didn't like. They either hiked too many miles or they were bored the whole time. We all have preferences, so listen to them. Seek out the adventures you see in your mind, and you will be far happier. If you blow past this finding your style thing and do not take it seriously, you're putting your overall enjoyment at risk. That said, I do think it's important to try different styles out, because maybe you think that you'll like doing big miles, but in practice, you hate it, or you do like doing big miles, but you thought that you wouldn't. I think the big thing for me is to listen to where your head is. If you're out there backpacking, but you're not really happy with something, change it. Try something different. Go somewhere new, or maybe ditch your hiking friends for once and go solo so you can do your own thing. And maybe you'll find your enjoyment going through the roof. The more you can hone in on the style of backpacking that makes you happy, the better off you are. But it's not just feeling good about a style that's important. Identifying your style will allow you to make the right gear choices. If camping in the snow sounds like something you're going to hate, don't get winter gear. Get the summer stuff that's light and comfortable. If you want to backpack hunt, buy the gear that's going to hold up during the hunt. If you want to hike big miles, buy light gear. But if you just want to chill by the lake for the weekend and only hike a few miles, buy some comfy gear and maybe a lightweight chair to lounge around in. Speaking of wants, let's turn the page and dive into managing expectations before you even get out there. This could be anything from managing your emotional expectations or your physical ones. Either way, I think it's important to set yourself up for success by not investing too much of yourself into this upcoming trip or whatever you have coming up. The reason I say this is because it took me a long time to stop expecting so much of myself in the outdoors. This goes as far back for me as a teenager and expecting to see a million deer on opening morning, and it lasted right up until probably halfway through the PCT. I remember when I decided to get into backpacking, I kept telling myself that I had to have this perfect trip. Picture perfect. Anytime I'd start planning something out, I'd find myself thinking about how it wasn't a backpacking trip if I wasn't covering X amount of miles or didn't go through some epic landscape. And all that did was create a ton of disappointment right out of the gate, because not every trip can be epic. What I learned on my 2017 hike on the PCT was that expectations are a son of a gun when it comes to overall happiness in the backcountry. There's this quote of Andy Rooney's that I came across years ago that stuck with me ever since, and it's ultimately changed how I approach my day-to-day. So here's the quote. For most of life, nothing wonderful happens. If you don't enjoy getting up and working and finishing your work and sitting down to a meal with family or friends, then the chances are that you're not going to be very happy. If someone bases their happiness or unhappiness on major events like a great new job, huge amounts of money, flawlessly happy marriage, or a trip to Paris, that person is not going to be very happy much of the time. If, on the other hand, happiness depends on a good breakfast, flowers in the yard, a drink, or a nap, then we are more likely to live with quite a bit of happiness. I think the same thing applies to the outdoors. If your overall enjoyment comes from the idea that you're going to have these epic adventures all the damn time, then I think you're going to run into some pretty uninspiring moments in the backcountry. Not all views are epic and not all campsites are perfect, and that's perfectly fine. In fact, I think the imperfections of a trip or a campsite, that makes it extra special because they're memorable. There is this one hike that I love doing. I call it Big Sunset because for some reason, every time I camp up there, the sunset just seems enormous and it lasts forever. I love that trip. But there's this one spot on the way in that's tucked away into the trees that I'm always thinking when I pass, man, I should camp there sometime. The problem is that it's only like 15 minutes from the trailhead. And that really messes with my head. How in the world could a 15-minute hike ever be epic? It seems like a complete waste of a drive just to hike 10 or 15 minutes and camp. That is the battle that I've had in my head for a long time, and it's there because my expectations were always misaligned. So for years, I passed by the spot. Each time, I would be like, man, I wonder if I'll ever camp there. Finally, a couple years back, I had botched this trip and I found myself needing to find a spot to camp lower on the mountain. And voila, my opportunity to camp in this spot was ripe. It was not an epic location. It is not an epic location. It was just a spot in the woods and I loved it. We had it all to ourselves and it felt great being camped in the trees around a fire. At some point along the PCT, I had this epiphany that we shouldn't negate a campsite that isn't epic because they all have something special to offer. Who cares if it's not by a lake or by a creek or has a grand vista? Who cares if it's not picture perfect? Maybe, just maybe, it's better that way. Maybe instead of spending your time in camp trying to take that super sexy picture for social media, you can spend that time relaxing and talking with those around you for longer than you normally would. Lakes, creeks, and views, they're great, obviously, but they're not everything. I started learning to love those spots along the PCT that were not epic. The tiny little pull-offs that had just enough space for one or two tents. It became less about me and more about the trail in each tiny little environment that I was passing through. Once I stopped expecting so much of the trail, I started having a hell of a lot more fun out there because it stopped weighing me down so much. All this to say, just put your expectations in check, because if you just leave them to their own devices, you're going to risk feeling disappointed with your time spent in the field. You're going to feel like a loser for not seeing a deer on opening morning, or like a substandard backpacker for not planning the perfect trip worthy of the gram. Who really freaking cares about social media anyhow? It's the same images, the same story, and it's boring. Do it for yourself, not an application on your phone. Maybe, instead of expecting to see a deer on opening morning, you should just expect to get some fresh air and some peace and quiet. And maybe, instead of expecting an epic backpacking trip, you could just expect to enjoy the feeling of the trail under your feet, no matter how far it takes you or in what condition the trail is in. All right, so we've covered finding your backpacking style and why that is important, and we've covered managing expectations while you're out there and why that's important. So let's talk about actually managing the miles while you're on the trail. First off, for the sake of your own personal enjoyment, you've got to start managing yourself from the very beginning, even before the beginning. Emery from a few years ago did not put much thought into how to get down the trail. He just went. He stopped when he was hungry. He drank when he was thirsty. And the problem with that is we don't often feel hungry or thirsty until it's too late. And by that time, you have to play catch up. It starts before you even step down the trail. My first and only time hiking up Mount St. Helens was shortly after I got out of the Marine Corps. And for some reason, my friend and I drank a few beers the night before instead of water, and then had coffee in the morning, again, instead of water. I cramped up about halfway to the top and life sucked. I did not set myself up for success and I paid for it. For some reason, I always thought about stuff after I was down the trail feeling like crap. Emery today is far different. I now plan ahead and look out for future me. I'm proactive versus being reactive on the trail, or at least I try to be. For example, I try to eat maybe 15 minutes before I hike out for the first time so I have the energy for the trail, and I stop every hour or so to eat and drink something. That is my rule, and I do it because I'm trying to manage myself for the duration of the day. This is probably less important for a short hike than it is for an all-day hike, but still, regardless of the distance, you should be thinking ahead versus catching up. Warming up is also part of that whole management mentality, both physically and mentally. I used to just fly down the trail because it felt good, but after a few hours, it would catch up to me. By the time I got to camp, I felt terrible because I just basically overdid it in those early miles. So stop walking fast, at least at first. You wouldn't start lifting heavy weights or start sprinting at a track without warming your body up, right? The same goes for backpacking. There's weight on your back, uneven terrain to navigate, so do yourself a favor and slow the heck down. Try walking at a slower pace for the first hour or so and just see what that does for you. Your mind and your body need time to get used to this new thing that it's doing, so stop being in such a hurry to get down the trail. If you are in a hurry, maybe plan a little bit better so you're not in such a rush. Because walking fast puts pressure on your body that just isn't necessary. It creates blisters and faster in weird spots and can mess with your joints. Also, there's really no difference between 2 miles an hour and 4 miles an hour in the long run. I've timed it, and it seems like the faster I walk, the more breaks I have to take. And the slower I walk, the less breaks I have to take, which means I'm walking for longer throughout the day. They basically average out, and for me at least, hiking faster than my natural pace just makes me feel like crap. And speaking of breaks, make time for them. I mentioned earlier that I put myself on a 1 hour hiking interval, and it's been a game changer for me. You don't have to take a 20-minute break every hour, but at least sit down, eat something, drink something. I would force myself to sit down on the PCT even if I didn't feel like it. And I did this right up until I met Jess in Canada. I had 8 miles to go between the border and her, and at 4 miles, I took a break so I could finish strong to the trailhead. It's just what I did. I would sometimes sit down on a stump for 5 minutes just to give my feet a break. That's all I needed. Regardless of the duration of your break, just make them regular and you'll be better for it no matter how far you're going. I would also suggest not going past 2 hours without a proper break, food, and water. Nothing good happens after 2 hours without refueling. It just doesn't. And as for how to eat on the trail, that is something you're going to have to play around with yourself. But my general rule of thumb is for every 5 miles of hiking, I try to eat 500 calories and drink a liter of water before I hike them. It's not perfect, and it obviously varies from trip to trip and how I'm feeling, but that's at least my starting point. And that little formula really helps me out when I'm shopping for food, preparing for a trip. One of the coolest parts about the course is that Kyle Camp, who I've had on the show before from Valley to Peak Nutrition, helped me assemble a lot of the nutrition information that's in the course. And I'm glad he did because obviously that's what he does best. Aside from hiking slower, staying fed and staying hydrated, massaging your body at night and throughout the day is a great way to manage your body. Lightweight massage balls work well, a trekking pole, or just using your hands to relieve pain. It just works wonders. Soaking feet in streams is always welcome, and it also does wonders for recovery after a long day on the trail. I could go on and on about how to manage your body on the trail, but these are the big ones that stick out to me. The course obviously goes into additional detail on how to manage life on the trail, but I wanted to at least give you guys good, actionable information that you can put into practice right away in your next available hike. If you do want more information on this kind of stuff and you like this, maybe the course is worth looking into. And I think it's worth mentioning before wrapping this up that I'm continuing to learn how to manage my mind and my body on the trail. It's a process, and I'm always trying to improve. And that's all we want to do out there is just learn, try new things, and get better at what we're doing. I think that does it for this episode. Thanks so much for sticking around. As always, if you have any questions about anything I've covered, just shoot me a note on Instagram, Facebook, or by email at emery@byland.co. All right, that is it for episode 122. Thank you so much for tuning in. There are links in the description of this episode if you want to follow up with the backpacking course. And if you have any comments about this episode or want to have a follow-up conversation, please consider joining the Facebook group. Links are in the show notes. Lastly, if you want to help out the show, I think the best way to do that is leave me a review on iTunes or simply just share it with a friend or mention it on social media. If you are headed out on an adventure anytime soon, be safe, make great decisions, and we'll see you next time.